Tonight I was so pleased to recognize schools that have met accountability criteria according to the state's criteria. And the K-8 schools, we recognized several schools that had earned A's and B's on the 2008 report card in both achievement and value added. High schools which had scored above state's predicted scores in such areas as the Gateway assessments and ACT tests. And then we recognized all K-12 schools which have been in good standing for AYP for the past 3 years.
As the business meeting was drawing to a close, Board Member Grady Akins asked if the chairman would call a special called meeting to discuss three agenda items. The chairman asked if Member Akins wished to put his request in the form of a motion, and he did, asking for the meeting to discuss the superintendent's contract, the central office organizational chart, and central office base salaries. Ann Henning Rowan seconded the motion with the amendment that she be allowed to add, quote, some, end quote, other items. She said she would inform the secretary of those agenda items the next day or so. Board Member Bob Alvey expressed, quote, deep concern, end quote, about this, quote, whole situation, end quote, saying that nothing he saw warranted a special meeting and it could be handled in regular session, adding that he just wanted to say that to those orchestrating this plan. The motion did pass. Chairman Mays asked Mr. Akin if he had a date in mind, at which point Carol Carter Estes interrupted and asked Mr. Akin if he needed a day or two to look at his calendar. He affirmed that he did. It is a reasonable conclusion that the discussion regarding the superintendent contract will center around whether the board acted in violation of some law in extending the contract 3 years. This issue was first raised more than 2 months ago and has been a talking point on several occasions. For the answer, if you believe the Jackson-Madison County School staff attorney Deborah Owen and sources who have cited the attorney opinion of the Tennessee School Board Association and the opinion of the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents legal opinions, the answer is it's a legal contract. Nonetheless, several board members are determined in their attitude that the contract should be voided and may opt to act accordingly in the face of differing legal opinion. One counsel the board has not sought is the opinion of their own attorney, Dale Condor. That may still happen. I tried to get comments from several of the board members who had voted to call this meeting, asking them what legal opinion they were basing their beliefs on or what was behind this move, but board members would not go on the record with me. Scheduling the meeting is the responsibility of the board chairman, and a date and time for the special call meeting will be published when it is decided. In the newsroom, 101.5 FM, I'm Keith Shirley.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Keith will be back in over at 4:30 with more news. Whew. It sounds like another unprofessional school board meeting last night. Seeking those who would like to oust the superintendent. And word on the street is there are some who would like to oust the superintendent now so they can move in their choice for superintendent, who we have lovingly dubbed Superintendent in Waiting, Jerry Woods. Arthur talking about, we don't know whether his contract with our superintendent's legal or not. Well, for crying out loud, you draw it up and say how much you're going to pay and you say how long it's going to be and you put an extension on it and put it in writing. Both parties sign it. It's legal. Tennessee law annotated takes care of that. Why do you need a legal opinion from the Tennessee School Boards Association anyway? All that is just a club. It's a professional development association. They don't have any legal standing in school systems in Tennessee. Oh, my, folks, you're being hoodooed. We'll talk about that, and we'll check our emails when we come back.
More of George B. in the afternoon after this.
Okay, 3:41 on a Friday afternoon. This is George B. I'm delighted to have you with us today. And we'll talk about anything you'd like to talk about. We're also going to get to the email. I'm behind on those. You can send me an email in studio, georgeb@georgeb.com. I'll try to read that on the air for you, I promise. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
Hey, how are you, George?
Doing great.
Yeah, this is the first time I've called your show. Let me let you know first, I'm calling from San Francisco.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a nice day out here. Hey, let's see, a couple of things. I heard you talking about educational issues there, I guess your school board. Do you, I don't know if you're knowledgeable of global warming and whatnot, but, you know, it would seem to me that the next generation should be educated as thoroughly in both prevention and cleanup and, you know, chemistry and astrophysics and everything related to global warming as quickly as possible. Otherwise, we may lose millions and millions of people worldwide, you know, potentially billions, if this is as serious as they're saying.
But it's not.
So you claim global warming is not happening?
No, I said it's not as serious. The cycle that we're going through is not as serious. I mean, most of the information in the last couple of months show that the ice shelves and the icebergs is greater this year than it was last year, so it's growing again.
For the previous 20 years, it's fallen off by 90%, so if it's growing by 2%,
it's a cycle. We've been through it before. We've gone through global warming. We've gone through global cooling. If you probably history and archaeology and those subjects would better explain where we are in that cycle.
I saw a report.
Besides, it doesn't matter if the ice falls off anyway. Have you ever taken a cup of water and a cup of ice and let the ice melt?
Have you ever eaten a handful of arsenic? You sound so irresponsible. Are you really a teacher?
No, I'm not. I'm a radio talk show host. What are you?
Well, I was looking at your website, and I saw that you were listed as a teacher. And
I've been a teacher, yes. And I'm open-minded. Let's do the water experiment, for example. Would you like to do that? Are you open-minded enough to do that?
I was just watching a report by a professor who was talking about the propaganda about global warming, and that something like 2,700 astrophysicists and physicists and a variety of scientists have agreed that global warming is happening, but that there are three scientists garnered the biggest amount of money from the polluters who do not want to deal with cleaning up their pollution, and so they are paying for this denial of global warming. Okay. Are you being paid to say that global warming is not happening?
I guess so. I'm paid to be a radio talk show host. I said global warming is over-exaggerated as part of a cycle. Would you like to do the ice walk through the ice cube experiment with me?
Are you going to come up with some cornball little experiment? Go ahead with your cornball thing, but if you're going to censor me, then no, I don't want to be censored.
Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a cup of water and a cup of ice. Okay? Let's take any size you want. What do you want? 6 ounce, 12 ounce, 8 ounce? You tell me. You're gonna give the parameters for the experiment.
Is this cornball or what?
No, this is serious.
Oh, let's make it easy. 10.
All right. 10 ounce. All right. We're going to take a 10 ounce. How about styrofoam? Does that suit you?
No, because styrofoam is a pollutant.
Okay. What do you want then?
How about glass?
Glass. Glass is fine. All right. Did you hear about the glass blower who died from a pain in the neck?
Oh, silica's not a happy thing to be working with.
When he inhaled. All right. 10 ounce glass. All right. You're going to fill that with, is lukewarm tap water okay for you?
Are you trying to sidetrack the issue of global warming? I'm trying to save the lives of the people of Tennessee, telling me some cornball experiment.
I'm going to let you save the lives after we do this experiment. I want you to tell me how this would turn out. I'm being completely serious. I'm being absolutely serious. Take the 10 ounce glass, fill it with lukewarm tap water. Okay, up to the top of the glass. Now, take an exactly the same 10-ounce glass and fill it with crushed ice or ice cubes, either one you want to, up to the rim. And then let it sit there until the ice melts. Which glass will have more water in it?
The one that has water in it. Well, it depends. It doesn't too much depend. It just depends on the amount of hollow space between the ice cubes.
Well, I mean, do you know anything about when water freezes, what happens to the molecules?
Well, there's expansion, contraction, but you're talking about chipped ice or ice cubes, and that makes a bunch of hollow space, so that's not really water.
All right, so when an ice cube melts, you're telling me there is more matter there.
Here's
my question for you. How come a bunch of people are telling me that as ice slides off into the ocean, and it melts, it's going to raise the level of the ocean when everywhere else it would lower.
No, that's not true at all.
What do you do for a living?
You're claiming that ice falling into the ocean makes the water go lower?
I'm claiming that ice
melting... That's not even cornball. That's just stupid.
But I'm claiming that ice melting is not going to make San Francisco fall off into the ocean, although it would probably be a relief to most.
I never said that it would make it fall off. The issue is that as the ocean, as the earth warms, it makes the glaciers and the north and south pole melt.
What do you do other than stalk me on my website, sir? I mean, what do you do for a living?
I'm actually concerned with the issue of the Tennessee River. Are you aware of the big dam?
Why don't you come in here and do something about it?
Are you aware of the big dam that busted up near Knoxville?
Yes.
And now, what are you doing to alert the people of Tennessee to make sure that they're not going to be poisoned by the lead, cadmium, arsenic, and mercury that's going to be coming down?
I'm going to do whatever you want me to. What do you want
me to
do?
So are you making a mockery of people dying?
I'm making a mockery of you, sir.
No, you're sounding like a goddamn fool.
Whoa. Watch your language. You got awfully close to taking the Lord's name in vain. I will not allow that.
Okay, so let's just talk about God's green earth. How about the Tennessee River?
How about it?
So, how much have you done to alert the public about the lead, mercury, cadmium, boron, and arsenic that are on their way down the Tennessee River?
I'm allowing you to do that right
okay.
now. You're
well,
impressing the heck out of them.
If people,
what do you do in San Francisco besides?
I work with a group that deals with energy issues.
And what do you do for a living?
Once I learned that the planet was in serious shape from people dying, I actually spend most of my time not getting paid and trying to help people out.
All right, and can you help me?
Yeah.
Well, how can you help me besides looking at my website and being critical, being critical because I used to be a teacher. I used to be a businessman too. You're going
to
criticize that? And I think about
divert attention away from cleaning up the river.
No, I'm telling you, I think about 50% of what we hear of the dire threat of global warming is fact. I think about 50% of it is hooey. And I don't think any of these scientists know the difference. And I think it's going to be what it's going
to
be.
No, it's definitely not 50-50. It's definitely about 3 to 3,000.
Name 100.
Oh, well, there are any number of different lists, and you can just pick your favorite scientist.
Give me your primary research. Tell me who you're quoting.
It wouldn't be Al Gore because he's so much of a coward that he hasn't done anything
all right.
about that TVA.
Tell me who you're quoting. Tell me who you're quoting. Tell me what your references are. I want your primary research. I want your secondary research. And I want peer reviewed. Now, I only want peer reviewed.
Okay,
do you know what
so
that
you're
is?
You're making a mockery of it. I'm not going to jump at your little joke. If you haven't got the
you don't know. You don't know what you don't know what scientific peer reviewed means.
You can,
that's
you
why
you can. Why don't you go to OurStolenFuture.com?
Is that an Encyclopedia Britannica? Oh, it's a website. Oh, so that's a peer reviewed website of science.
Actually, it is.
Oh,
it's got nothing but peer reviews in it.
What does peer reviews mean?
It means that any number of other scientists with similar educational levels take a look at the data and cross-check it and
What's your point in calling our show when we're talking about something completely different?
The Tennessee River, well, you're the one that keeps changing the subject.
Well, why don't you get down here and do
something?
It's an
open topic, right?
Why don't you get down here and do something about the Tennessee River then?
Well, I'm doing my darndest from 2,000 miles away.
Well, you need to be closer than that, sir. You need to get down here in the sludge up at Kingston, sir. I want you to get down here in the sludge.
You're making a mockery of God's green earth, aren't
I'm
you?
Making
you're
a mockery.
You're pretending to save God's name in vain, but you're not doing anything to protect God's green earth? God's green earth?
I'm making a mockery of you, sir. I'm doing a great job at it, too, by the way.
No, you're not. You're actually making a good fool of yourself because everybody that knows... that they can't eat any fish out of the Tennessee River.
I do it all the time.
If the economy goes bad, now their food source is gone.
Wait a minute, I eat fish out of the Tennessee River all the time.
Well, then, when's the last time you had a baseline lead a blood test?
2 months ago.
Okay, now are you recommending to the public that they better get a baseline blood test?
No, I'm recommending they eat fish out of the Tennessee River.
And how did your results come out?
I was fine. Said I'm crazy.
Beg pardon?
I'm kind of crazy, but physically I was fine.
Well,
you didn't want to hear that, did you?
Have you told the public what a baseline blood test does?
No, I'm going to let you tell them.
Okay, good. If
you're boring the heck out of people, brother.
Oh, that's okay. Saving your life is boring people.
Well,
you're the sorriest SOB I've ever heard of.
SOB?
So
what does that stand? What does that stand for? What does SOB stand for?
Oh, you want to hang up on me? That's sweet of you.
Well, what does it stand
for? You have no respect for your audience, and you're going to insult me when I try to save people's lives.
No, I'm going to tell you to go to WENWS.com and listen after this call, and I'm going to let the people vote for you or me.
Yeah, and tell them what a baseline blood test does and how the people of Alaska were cheated after 20 years.
They were cheated.
They were cheated
when they didn't elect McCain president and have Sarah Palin up there near the White House.
Man, you are really an insult.
I'm an SOB!
So are you going to tell them what a baseline blood test is for?
No, you're going to tell.
Okay, good.
Get to it, brother? Don't you have some gay pride march to go to or something in San Fran? I mean, for crying out loud, let's get to it.
Man, I'll tell you, you're going to go down in history as wasting people's lives. Baseline blood test
is for when you go
to the doctor in 6 months and your lead level is higher, your arsenic level is higher. They can tell whether you had what you were at this date, what you were like at a certain further date, and what you're like in 5 years.
No, if you eat those fish sticks and they come from the Tennessee River, you're history, buddy. Did you know they told me in elementary school if I ate fish sticks and drank milk, I'd die? I didn't believe that either.
So you are making a mockery out of...
I'm making a mockery out of you.
Would you sit down and eat a handful of arsenic?
You know what else they told
you? Would you sit down and eat a handful of mercury?
I've already answered those
questions. Would you sit down and eat a handful of cadmium?
When I was in...
Would you sit down and eat a handful of boron?
Would you sit down and shut up?
You apparently don't care about your audience.
No, my audience is enjoying this call, and we're going to...
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Well, you're going to listen...
Because they're actually seeing what a mockery you are when this hazardous waste of a billion gallons of hazardous waste is flooding down the Tennessee River.
Hang on, I'm going to a commercial.
And you don't care. Bye.
Hello?
Well, doggone.
More of George B. in the afternoon after this.
Oh, man, I knew I shouldn't have eaten that fish out of the Tennessee River.
Whew.
Knew I should have moved to San Francisco. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
George, I'm fine. How are you?
How you doing? Great, man.
Well, I've listened to your show for years, and that was by far the absolute funniest phone call I've ever heard.
I kind of enjoyed it, too.
I believe your ratings have gone through the roof.
You're kind. I appreciate you listening.
One thing, on a serious note, You know, he mentioned God several times. I didn't think they allowed God in California.
Yes, but only if it's a she.
All right, take care.
Thank you very much. Caller, you're live with George B.
How you doing, George?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, I just got a couple comments on the whole ice in the glass experiment.
Yeah, when you got the ice in the ocean, it melts. Why does that make the... make the ocean level go up?
Well, a lot of the ice is above sea level.
Yeah.
And
but the weight of it's still pushing the water around it up.
Well, when you say a glacier moves off of land and...
Hey, call me back. I'll let you back in next hour. I got to go to the news, okay?
All right.
Oh, brother.
WNWS-FM Jackson, your news talk leader. Jackson's news talk leader. 101.5 FM.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. Glad to have you along. I know I'm breathing hard. I'm breathing heavy, and I'm sure there's a good explanation for that, and as soon as I think of one, I will relate it to you. How about I ran to the back to get some cool, refreshing Diamond Spring water. I heard the music. I had to run. The door was locked. I couldn't find the key. I couldn't get in Studio 4. Do you believe any of that? Well, That's all I'm going to, that's all you're getting. That's the only explanation you're getting on a Friday. You know how people are on Friday. People just get weird on Fridays. You know, they do. You look around the workplace. I mean, people get flirtatious on Fridays and they get giddy on Fridays. And they get, I don't know, naughty on Fridays. You know what I'm talking about. It's just that Friday syndrome. They get Friday-itis and they're ready to go home and they stare at the clock for 2 hours. They drive too fast. They text while they drive more than usual. And Friday's a terrible time to do that. But Friday's a good day. Now, I'm not really sure that I understand why I got a caller from San Francisco who'd been looking at my website and stalking me and calling to talk about the lead level in the Tennessee River when he's in San Francisco. I don't understand that. And then we got into the ice cube thing, and granted, that was a dumb experiment. Now, George B., I can't believe he did that. But it just seems to me like if you got these chunks of ice floating around in the oceans all over the world and they melt, that's not going to raise the level of the oceans any more than an ice cube in a drink melting raises the level of the liquid in the glass. Okay, the ice shelf, the ice on the land that falls into the ocean. Oh, man, I don't know. Doom and gloom at every turn. The nation's economy's going wacko. We got to have another $700 billion President Barack Hussein Obama's going to put in there. President-elect Barack, he's got the whole world in his hands. Will he do something about this global warming? Not only did the caller from San Francisco have me confused on the global warming, he didn't like Al Gore either. And he called me an SOB. And it really hurt my feelings. Now, I know that many of you who are regular listeners to the afternoon program think, you know, you can't insult George B. because it doesn't bother him. I know you're thinking that, but I go home in tears most nights. I want you to know that. Mrs. B. has to console me. And sometimes I'm so upset that the whole station staff has to come in here and give me a group hug after a call like that. You know, I got feelings, too. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
Hey, Mr. B., I sure am glad you finally got rid of that idiot. I'm telling you, that dude, he belongs in San Francisco. Do you realize that?
Well, I kind of like talking to him. It was new. It was different. It was invigorating.
Invigorating?
Yeah.
Global warming is invigorating, George?
The discussion with him was invigorating. Now, let's get on with it.
All right. Let's get on with it.
Right.
The school board.
Oh, no. I don't want to be depressed on a Friday afternoon.
Well, we're not going to get depressed, okay. George. Yeah. This is gleeful times.
All right.
In Jackson, Tennessee. Do they have to go through some type of seminar before they get out in public?
They don't have to, but I think most of them do. But that, you think they need remedial?
Well, I think they went to a clown seminar.
All right. Well said. Let's quit while we're ahead now.
Well, George, I'm telling you, this is not comical any longer.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing.
I am sure. I agree with you on that. Yes, it is.
I mean, seriously.
Seriously, it is.
With the importance of education in the community, and for these elected, and I'll use that term loosely. Where are we at at educating our children?
The people that have nothing else important in their lives try to get on a board and take control there when they don't have control of their own lives or in their own households. That happens frequently. It happens all the time. That's why a lot of people get on school boards, is because they're unnoticed in the rest of the world. And they also like control. They're control freaks. And we have a majority of school board members currently who have their own candidate in mind for school board superintendent, and they want to rush him in there. So
we've already gone through that episode.
Yeah, but no, and they want
to. It's a broken record syndrome.
The word on the street is the superintendent in waiting is Dr. Jerry Woods, and
he was already in waiting, and we excused him to go elsewhere and get employed.
But it ain't over, and so that's the deal, and it has
nothing. I'm telling you,
it has to do with control. It has nothing to do with kids. It has nothing to do with learning. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with anything except control.
Well, I hope they're having a big time, because I'm here to tell you, I'm not at the least bit impressed.
It's self-destructing.
They are self-destructing.
Yeah, it is, and it's sad, but that's the way it is, and, you know, that's, thank goodness people got a choice.
Well, you know, like I say, we've already chosen.
I got to go. I've let you talk as long as that guy from San Francisco.
I know, but the NAACP has, they need to get a membership drive going, because this six-member committee organization, where were we, George, CNP representatives? As far as, weren't we on a big bang here about 6 months ago getting the membership up?
There's not enough people to pay the dues.
Okay, it's been dissolved. Okay.
I gotta go.
All right, see you.
All right, bye. Whew. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
George B.
Yes, I am.
I moved from Jackson, Tennessee, almost 2 years ago.
To San Francisco?
Lubbock.
Lubbock, Texas.
And I listen to you every day.
Well, bless you.
And I'm listening to you again now online. And gosh, you make me feel at home. I missed you terribly.
And you're in Lubbock, Texas right now?
I am. I'm in Lubbock.
Is it Lubbock?
No. It's Lubbock. Lubbock, Texas. Texas Tech University.
Why did you move?
My husband is from this area. Oh. And
you got a husband.
I do. A great job opportunity for him down here. And
you're listening online.
I do. I found one for myself that it's been a great move for both of us.
Well, good for you. Well, we're drawing them in from everywhere
you
today.
You are. And, you know, it just truly makes me feel, I don't know, I love listening to you.
Well, you're so kind to say that.
Yeah, I miss you, George B.
Well, thank you.
You pink overall guy.
Well, gee, thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, keep up the good work. I like listening to you. I hate to say this, your rantings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I enjoy listening.
Well, they don't annoy you though, do they?
Not at all. I like it when you laugh.
Well, thank you. You're so kind. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great rainy weekend.
And what's your first name?
Gina.
Gina.
Uh huh.
Gina, it's great to hear from you.
You too, George B. I love listening to you every day, and you keep up the good work, and more power to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
God bless you. The power of the internet. So we got two people listening on that there internet today. One in San Francisco who's worried about the lead content in the fish I'm eating out of the Tennessee River, and one in Lubbock, Texas who says they're missing us. All right, caller, you're up next. You're live with George B. How are you?
How you doing, George?
Hey.
Just talked to you about some ice.
All right, let's do the ice thing. So you believe that the ice all over the world is melting so fast that it is going to swallow us up and drown us all, and cities are going to fall off in the ocean, and that's really going to happen in the next few years?
It's not going to, cover the whole entire United States or anything like that. But I think
it at least get San Francisco?
Now, you did kind of offend me back there.
Why? Why?
Well, when you were just making fun of the fact that he was from San Francisco and told him to go to a gay pride parade.
I didn't tell him to go to one. I asked him if he was going to one.
Okay, well,
why is that offensive?
Well, what was your reasoning behind saying that?
To shamelessly get a chuckle out of some of our immature audience members.
Okay, yeah. I'll let you buy with that one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, you know, why does Leno or Letterman or anybody tell it, say it, make a little joke?
Okay, that makes me feel better,
though. I mean, it's a joke! But here's the deal now. Here's why I made fun of him. How could he possibly have so much time on his hands that he studies my biography on our website and listens online and calls in on a Friday afternoon to talk about the Tennessee River that he's 3,000 miles away from that he wants to save? I mean, didn't you find that bizarre?
Yeah, I don't know what his reasoning was. That's the thing is, you know, you can't just downplay all of the global warming movement.
Well, I told him I told him that I think 50% of it has substance, and I think 50% of it is hooey, and I don't think anybody really knows which is which.
Right, because not everybody, just because they're supporting maybe a good cause and have good intentions doesn't mean they're a saint. You know, they have their own reasons for
sure.
supporting something.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think that if all the ice melts in the North Pole,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it'll change the temperature of ocean currents, and I think it will affect the planet in a bad way.
But did you know that the ice increased over this last year? It suddenly it went the other direction this past year.
I know it does go in cycles, but I think that had a lot to do with thin ice forming, too.
Well, it doesn't matter what it had to do with. It just says that all the dire predictions ain't necessarily so. Because
right,
we were told a couple of years ago that it would never reverse itself.
Well, I don't think we're that far yet, but I don't think we need to let the world go.
Oh, absolutely not. We need to be good caretakers and good custodians of what God gave us.
All right. Well, I got to get back to work here.
Well, you better get back to work.
All right.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right. We let him back in because he got cut off at the top of the hour. 419 caller. You're live with George B. How are you?
George.
Yes, where are you from?
Listen here.
Oh, my.
Your callers, what they don't understand is that the polar ice cap, ice freezes in the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
And it floats to the top.
Right. So when it melts, it's...
More ice freezes at the bottom, and it pushes more ice up to the top, and they bond together.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing... You have a glass, you have an ocean of water where the polar ice cap is so cold
mm-hmm.
that water is freezing at the bottom and moving to the top. And on some days when there's more sunlight in things and it's warmer than what it usually is, pieces of ice at the top of the polar ice cap fall off
and
they go back down into the water.
Right.
It's just a continuous cycle.
Exactly.
I mean, the only way right now that all of the polar ice cap could flood this world is if something happened and the Earth's axis were changed
mm-hmm.
to where that the North Pole and the glacier, the polar ice cap, got, you know, 90 days of sunlight as opposed to 90 days of dark.
You
would have to warm the entire ocean up.
In other words, it would have to be quick and catastrophic.
That's right. I mean, the entire planet would have to shift its position.
Do you agree with me that probably half of this dire talk is hooey?
Oh, yes, it is. Look, let me tell you. I grew up as a kid. I remember when we had nothing but window fans.
Yeah.
All right, and back, whenever I look at the weather forecast, the weatherman tells me, well, back this day in 1952, the temperature was 102.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I mean, how much industry and everything was going on back then?
Yeah.
This is not global warming. People have become so addicted to air conditioning that's what the problem
They're
is.
Not conditioned with it. I got to run, but I appreciate your call.
All right. I hope your idiots out there understand now about how polar ice caps work.
Well, hey, thanks for the comments. Really appreciate that. 4:22. We're going to check in with the news headlines. Oh my goodness gracious alive! I was kind of hoping San Francisco would fall off into the ocean. They say it's not going to. Darn.
More of George B. in the Afternoon after this.
And good afternoon. Hey, you can send us an email to Studio 4. Just type in George B. at georgeb.com. Let's try to catch up on a couple of those. Here's one from Charles. Dear George B., I am proud to say that I am part of the younger generation of listeners. Well, great, Charles, and we have a lot of those. I've been meeting a lot of those folks lately. While I enjoy your opinions for the most part, I'm a bit confused why you are against the DTV transition. He's referring to digital TV. Below, I have highlighted what I feel is most important about this and why I think it is a great idea. And as far as considering helping people buy these boxes as welfare, do you not think that getting a free TV service that is government controlled and regulated welfare? Average people don't see the benefits of the change, I guess due in part to just the fact of changing. With some of the bandwidth signal being auctioned to cell phone companies, places you couldn't get a signal, you will be able to, depending on your provider. Yes, you have to install a box and learn the new system, but once that has passed, it will be just the way it was, free TV. Although I'm disappointed the coupon funding has dried up, I support this change. We are in the 21st century and still using 20th century technology. Thanks. And that's from Charles. Thank you, Charles, for the email. And then he enclosed some things from the FCC, some of their propaganda. Well, Charles, I am not against DTV. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a good move. I think the industry should do it, not government force. And I think the market would have taken care of it. And secondly, I'm against a government program to pay for people's boxes on the switch, just like I would be against the government paying for people's new plasma TV or people's cable or people's television antenna or most of people's everything else. All right. So, you know, I'm a libertarian. What can I say? But good points. Well written. Thank you for the email. You can email me at georgeb@georgeb.com. I'll try to read it on the air. Caller, you're live with George B. How are
you? Hello, George.
Hey, what is going on?
Don't know.
Where are you calling from? We had San Francisco. We had Lubbock, Texas. What we got here?
Chesterfield.
Woo-wee.
You ever heard of Steve from Lexington?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. All right.
Well, anyway, I wanted to tell you about the conversation or whatever you want to call it you had with that guy.
From San Fran?
About the global warming threat and the pollution.
I was trying to get him to kill himself.
Well, you definitely acted, I think, the world of you, but I thought he really came off about as good or better than you did.
Do you? Okay.
Well, let me ask you this. It's got me real interested. All this leak, of course, we've been hearing about it for days.
Well, he made me feel bad about eating these fish all these years.
In all very extreme seriousness, what about that leak? Is it getting in the Tennessee River? What is the deal with it? I mean, how much threat is it to people besides just people in East Tennessee?
I think anything like that's a threat and can contaminate water sources and groundwater and everything else. I do. And you know, how much? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know something, George?
What?
I'm not a Christian person. I never will be because my mind don't function quite right.
Oh, you're either a Christian or you're not.
Well, I just want to say I'm not. But anyway, I really believe the Lord is hitting this country and some other places. That's all there is to it.
You think he's punishing us?
Punishing us.
See, I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, that's okay.
I believe we might be punishing ourselves.
Well, just too many things going on.
Okay.
I mean, you know, with the combination of war and...
Rumors of wars.
Rumor of war. And
that's all in the Bible there. That's all in the Bible, but it's not necessarily God's punishment.
Well, it's something that I think... I really believe that he just got so sick and tired of people again cutting up. Just, you know, that he's knocking their butts off. With all the snow and everything up north and the tornadoes that hit real regular in West Tennessee now and places like that that didn't used to hit as much and all that type of stuff. I just think it's all happening. And as far as the guy that called, I don't in a way I kind of admire his interest in that and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody needs a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, pal, you hang in there.
All right. Thanks, pal.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And 4:30.
You're listening to George B. in the Afternoon. In the Afternoon.
423-8101. All right, what else is going on? I had the caller from San Francisco really worried about Tennessee and the Tennessee River. TVA ratepayers are probably going to be stuck with the ash cleanup bill. The tab for a toxin-laden ash flood at a coal-powered power plant in Tennessee could reach hundreds of millions of dollars, and ratepayers for the nation's largest public utility will probably be stuck with the bill. So if you get, as we do, our electricity from TVA, we're probably going to pay the bill. Now, here's my question. Does the Tennessee Valley Authority not have liability, errors, and omission insurance that takes care of things like this that happen? And if they don't, just what kind of railroad are we running with TVA? That's my question. I'd like to hear your comments. 423-8101. And on anything else you'd like to talk about. Caller, you're live at George B. How are you?
Will Obama pay my cable bill?
It's possible.
Well, he's going to have to do something.
Why?
Pay my cable bill. He's going to give me a free antenna or something.
Thanks a lot. You know, disguising your voice to get in more than once a day is not, that's just not nice. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
Good afternoon, to George.
Hey, what's going on?
A fella ringing you across the coals a little while ago. I was on the phone the whole time listening to all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did a great job.
I enjoyed talking with him.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to tell you, I like to have a little talk with him myself.
I appreciate
it. I'm from the West Coast. I swam in them oceans where they flush their toilets out of them ships,
yeah.
Where they dump the garbage by barge loads. They need to look into the cleaning up that ocean, and I think I glow in the dark now because I swam out there. They need to clean up their own act.
Okay.
We ain't going to have to worry about it much longer anyway. That whole place is built on a shelf. And it's going to dump off in the ocean one of these days, big time.
Think so?
First earthquake, Manhattan blows her stack again, it'll rumble enough to take that whole place up.
I would say earthquakes rather than global warming is going to be the problem.
Earthquakes, we have them out the wazoo. I've seen sidewalks flop up in the air. It got so bad. We'd have one about every 30 minutes.
Man, we've been having them like crazy in Yellowstone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another thing. That hadn't gone off in 70 million years, and it's due. They already had a big thing on the history show about that thing. She's fixing to blow her stack, and when she does, we're going to be going through a blitz down through here from all the dust and stuff from the air is going to be floating down in our area, and we're going to have to wear a gas mask. But I heard you going up. Barack Obama didn't mention this when he was running for election. He's going to make the White House and the government a housing project. And he's got his mother-in-law moving in, probably going to get that illegal alien move in with her.
I don't care if he has his mother-in-law move in. Why should you care?
They're going to eat high on the hog on taxpayers' money. I've got a big thing about that.
I don't care.
Okay. If you don't care, I sure do. Because
right.
I'm going to raise a fuss.
All right.
He's already raking me across the coals with all this daggum socialist programs he's got going.
All right.
But you all have a great Southern day anyway.
All right. Thank you very much. He may need some advice. Mother-in-laws always give advice. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
That me, George.
That's you.
I'll tell you what. You got that nailed right about that liability insurance.
Errors and omission and liability insurance. How come TVA is saying all of a sudden the ratepayers are going to be stuck with the cost of the cleanup?
What kind of
organization are they running?
I don't know, but they raise the rates, and anybody bats their eyes to them, they're just going to pass it on, and now they're going to pass this on to us. You know, we have to keep liability insurance on our vehicles.
Yep.
That way, if something happens, the other person's not liable for it.
Exactly.
That we've got to do it. I mean, is this something you think that we should be calling our congressmen about or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know. You know, I mean, there's something needs to be done about this, and I'm glad you said something about it, and I hope there's a lot more people that think the same way that you and I both do, so... I'd like to see something happen out of it because accidents happen, and that's pretty much what this is.
And that's why you insure, and anybody in business would insure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is exactly correct, and I'm glad that you brought it up on the air, and I'd like to hear a lot of more people talking about it and causing us to think about it because I don't want to pay for their mistake. It's not like they did it on purpose. It was a mistake, but I don't want to have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's what errors and omission is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Thanks for listening as well. 4:50 is the time. Caller, you're up next. You're live.
Is this me?
It is you, yes.
You was talking about I figured it's probably like the state of what they supply themselves with their own insurance, like where they're only liable for like $300,000. You know what I mean? I didn't know if TVA, most of the trucks you see have government tags. I just didn't know what the deal was.
You know, I do events right here in Jackson. I'm with a group of people that promotes events right here in Jackson, and we're required by government to get at least $1 million.
Yeah.
And something about this picture is not right.
Well, I'm not from San Francisco, and I went to Southside High School, but every history book that I read said that the continents was connected by ice glaciers, you know. That's how people walked to North America over the ice. I wonder what melted that or what happened to that ice.
That was another global warming cycle.
That's what happened, you know. I guess dinosaur methane gas is what melted that. I don't know.
Probably
you
so.
Gotta, I tell you what, it makes me mad just to hear somebody talk like that.
I understand. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. All right, 423-8101. Let's go over here. Caller, you're up next. You're live with George B. How are you?
Hey, George. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing great.
Hey, I just want to clarify. The reason why Obama's moving his mother-in-law in the White House is for security reasons.
Okay.
For the safety of her. So I just wanted to clarify that. I mean, I didn't vote for him, and I'm not for it. But anybody that was in his position, he'd do the same thing for his family.
I don't care. I mean, that grandmother and those grandchildren are close, and she helps take care of those grandchildren. Why should I care if she lives in the White House? Well, I mean, that's part of their family.
Well, let me ask you this, George. If I became president and I wanted to move my mom in the White House,
be fine with me.
Would you care?
No, I wouldn't care.
Well, if you were voted president and you wanted to move, you know, one of your family in the White House, I wouldn't care.
No, I think it's much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. 423-8101. Let's go over here. Caller, you're live with George B. How are you?
Hey, George. I'm good.
Good.
Listen, two things. I agree with you completely on the TVA situation. They need to have liability insurance. That doesn't need to be shucked off on us.
Agree.
And as much as I love your show and look forward to it in the afternoon, you're going to have to make it a Rick-free zone.
I don't have to do that.
No, but George, you made it a bull-free zone, and that made it more pleasant. And Rick has just turned into such a jerk, just such a snarky guy on the radio.
Hey, well, I appreciate your call.
All right,
appreciate your comment. One call per listener per afternoon. Who's going to pay the bill for the TVA? Well, didn't they have any insurance for stuff like this? And if they don't, who's managing this bunch of yahoos? You know, that's the question of the day. Have you thought about that?
More of George B. in the afternoon after this.
All right, speaking of food, let's make a transition to fast food. Let's make a transition to Massachusetts. New York City and California have already done this. Massachusetts health officials are going to follow the lead, requiring fast food chains to post calorie counts for their products on boards behind the order counter. Are you one of those people like I am? Maybe I'm just getting too old. I go in a fast food restaurant when I have to, and I look up at the board, and there's just too doggone many choices, and it just all just seems to float all over the place in front of my eyes. And if they've got good service before you get in the door, they say, what will you have, sir? Oh, my gosh, I don't know. Bring me a chair. Let me sit down. Let me study all this. Now, on top of that, we're going to start putting calorie, nutritional information up on those boards. I don't have time to sort through all that. It's too busy on the visual. Plus, I have an inclination to believe that if you don't know what's good nutrition and what's bad nutrition, you probably don't know how to read it on the board, you know. And it's a waste of time. But Massachusetts, they're going to do it. Now, that's one of several proposals in a healthy eating initiative that was unveiled yesterday with their Department of Health officials, which they say is needed to combat an obesity epidemic. Now, some have tried an obese tax. The parent company of Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins ice cream shops say the rules would unfairly burden its franchisees. Dunkin' Brands of Canton says it already provides customers with nutritional information. None! And has worked to develop low-calorie products. Come on now, you're going to go eat a donut. You want a low-calorie donut. I don't want a low-calorie donut. I'll just eat two instead of six. You know, just hold back, right, Herb? Yeah, we'll just hold back. That's what we'll do. Anyway, that's what's going on in Massachusetts. They're going to vote next week, and the law could go into effect in Massachusetts after a final vote this fall.